Hey all, Alex here. This is an episode we recorded in like November, and then we've got another one that we recorded around a similar time. I just didn't get around to editing them, had stuff going on, boring stuff, won't bore you with it. So this references a tournament that happened in like October, November time. That's what we're pretty much talking about here. As I just said, there's another episode which I'm going to try and get out like soon again. Sorry for the dry spell, hope you enjoy these, and we're going to try and get back to a bit more regular stuff now. Some things have settled down. Okay, last interruption before the episode starts, I promise. Just before I forget and before you get into this episode, if you're free on Saturday, April the 20th, and you're looking for a Guild Ball event, especially one in Manchester, then you are in luck because Jace Fox, Foxy from The Rookie, is running a fantastic event. It's a fluff-based tournament where you can only play models that haven't died, so hopefully Sherwin's going to make Foxy's life really hard and that list is going to get smaller and smaller by then. That'll be very, very funny. But seriously, it's an event for a really good cause. It's a charity shield in aid of Mind. Mind is a mental health charity. It does amazing work. I've got quite personal ties to them. So please, 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 if you can, just get to that event. It's going to be great and it's for a great cause. Now onto the episode.
Welcome to the firm, Epicor Toy Cannon, and fresh off the tournament. Well, not all fresh off the tournament.
Yeah.
I think I should explain myself somewhat. I've been ducking and weaving the past couple of tournaments.
You've been ducking and weaving the past couple of everything?
Yeah, well, I've got the coin, so yeah, I'm keeping that shit. That coin's going to work. When you get the coin off me, I'm only going to the tournament. Trying to harvest me, baby.
Send the firm representative in.
I did kind of worry about that. Go like, oh yeah, what a coincidence. Yeah, the tournament on a Saturday morning, and on the Friday night, I'd gone to a grunge gig for one of my favourite grunge bands, Mudhoney.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a little fun time.
Quality.
But I'm a 31-year-old man, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to show this kid. You're over 30-year-old men. Who am I kidding? 40-year-old men in the wash pit. I waded into the half a handle of whiskey and I got tenderized pretty badly, to be fair. And the next morning, I honestly thought I'd give myself a concussion.
I dropped your message and I was just going, I'm just setting off now if you fancy coming, seeing if there's any last minute drops. And you were like, I don't think so.
I kind of like going like, oh, you know, I'll go to the gig, I'll show up in the morning through a spot, I'll just enter the tournament, bing, bang, boom, I'm firing all cylinders, baby. But next morning, I was just, couldn't move. And I have like a headache and a fever. Like, oh, I don't think I'm 21 anymore. Again, I think very much worth the trade, in my opinion. But this means this is an all Alex episode, tournament episode.
Which is particularly good with my throat as it is right now. So.
You had a pretty good run on this one.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm well happy with this.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really pleased. So the Navigators tournament that we went to that I won, I'm considering a blip. It was a blip. I was playing a Season 4 guild in a Season 3 world. No one had played into the Navigators. You know, obviously I won. I'm still owning that win.
You basically just admitted you're winning illegitimate.
In a way, it kind of feels like it partially is, right? Yeah. So I've always had that sort of thought. Then I don't think I've placed since, have I?
I don't know. I like the idea that going like, I don't know if that tournament was real legit, and then go, I don't know where you got that impression from. It's just me turning every time in the background going, oh, that tournament barely counts, you cheating bastard. But yeah, this is one of them ones where you first like time placing since you navigate opening tournament.
Yeah, so like I've bounced out of that first one, which like don't really count, you know.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've gone back to my thing of I want to go 2-2, you know, because I've had a huge streak for basically the entirety of season 3 where I've won one game at every tournament I've gone to, or a 2-day tournament I've won a game a day, right? So I come out 3-1, 5-1, you know, 5-2, sorry, things like that. And this is the first time I've gone 3-1, and I'm really, really pleased. Yeah, came third overall, placed, got my podium, boom, yeah. Bing, bang, boom. And it kind of feels like this is it now. I'm on a roll. I've been saying to a few people, my objective now, I think, is to, I want to get to nationals this year, and I want the same thing that happens when like you draw some people, you know, when you draw some people and you go, ooh. You know, I want one of them games, someone to see my name on Longshanks and go, ooh, okay. But I also want them to go, oh, what a swell guy. I know we're going to have a wonderful time, but also, ooh.
Typical. Yeah. Even socially, you aren't willing to pay the price.
First game, played into Dave Millington.
Oh, who, I think
yeah. as soon as it drew, I was like, oh, for God's sake. I had that exact feeling, you know, that I'm hoping to, you know, I want to give someone at some point that feeling of, oh, man, this is going to be such a tough game. And I basically hard tilted before I even sat down.
Yeah, Dave, the current demon of the tournament. And this still plays into my theory. Dave is at his weakest at the beginning of the tournament. He gets stronger if he goes on. And I think our theory's been proved correct every time. When we both beaten Dave, it's been early on in the tournament.
That's it. Can you just say that bit again? What is it?
When we both got more VP than Dave.
Objectively, when one of us has reached before him.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's going to sound like we're hammering this guy, but I've never, ever, I've played Dave so many times, you know, in casual spaces. I think we're starting to get close to 50-50 win rate in casual games, right? But in tournaments, I've never, ever managed to beat him. It's like, I don't know whether he flips a gear and plays like in a competitive way, or I don't know what it is, but I've never managed it. So when I did it, I was like, oh yeah, I felt like I'd killed my white whale. I was like, honestly, I could lose every game. I'll be happy. I'm done. You know, like, I was just like... when I rubbed off the 11, turned it into a 12 on my slate where I keep track of the thing, I could have just dropped Mike and gone. I was so happy, and to be honest, Dave was happy for me as well. You know, like, I just want to reiterate that, like, we're mates. and when I went, yes, it was all in jest. It was all in good.
But Alex, how did you pull off a stunning victory?
So I played Corsair.
Yeah.
And what I tried to do from off was Scalpel came up to kick, obviously, because then she can just go do horrible things to people. So I thought, right, let's see if I can completely destroy this activation. Where bang, drag, in she comes, right? And I tried to just sort of tie her up and wail on her, which is the stupidest thing you can do, because obviously she just goes, okay, attack, move you, attack, move him, attack, move this guy, you know.
In theory, though, not a bad plan.
Yeah, so the plan was, I can't remember who I did it with now. I think it might have been Kraken. I might have gone drag, knockdown. Well, what I should have done is use Corsair. Drag, knockdown, damage, push, damage, push, damage, push, damage, push. Right, you're mine now. You're in this little prison. So if I used Kraken, I should have used Corsair. If I used Corsair, I didn't do it well. Because Scalpel just gets up, rearranges everything, gets the ball, and has a shot on goal. Yeah. Misses the shot, thankfully, right? Vet siren, fair winds, bang, that's mine. And I just parked the bus. Yeah. I was just like, I didn't send anyone out to go off on goal runs or anything. I just, people came in, I put them through the Corsair meat grinder, and then... I think I scored a goal at one point. Then between us, we gained 8 points on clock. And I got a huge advantage on this because I ticked down to 5 seconds and I had 3 activations within that 5 seconds because I would just say the model's name, then hit the clock. Yeah. I'd just go, hag doesn't do anything, clock.
Yeah.
Tentacles doesn't do anything, clock. Vet siren doesn't do anything, clock. And that pushed me up because every time Dave was then taking his minute activation, yes, he was doing things, but he wasn't doing things quickly enough to gain VP from anything. Where he was doing things, he was able to set, he was setting things up or doing a bit of damage, but not getting points for it. And so that put me so far up in the VP lead that when we started trading one for one, I was 3 ahead.
Yeah.
So I could afford it. And then we rolled into the next turn and I literally just needed him to activate and not do anything to it. Because so I had an activation which was literally Vessarin heals with momentum, your activation.
Yeah.
And so that ticked him from 9 to 10, which would have meant that he could have got the takeout and then won. But because she's a 5-def model, I'd healed her, and even if he had managed to kill her, he'd had to move in to kill her, so she would have just escaping fate and disappeared. There was a Bonesaw unexpected arrival straight onto Corsair to knock him off the pitch on the table. I was just praying he hadn't noticed it, and I don't think, and he didn't. So he went in with Scalpel to try and kill Vet Siren. She survived. I ticked from 11 to 12 VP for win, and I took back our coin, you know, coin number one in the coin wars with our logo on it. I took it back and I was like, yes! It was a beautiful moment. I beat Dave for the first time. I brought the coin home. I was on top of the world, man. It was so good. And then they were like, as an added bonus, they were like, it's lunch now. And I was like, yeah! Yeah.
A couple of comments. We all know timeout victories are basically illegitimate.
Three VP conditions, isn't
it? I'm hearing. I heard rumours of missed goals.
Like, if you miss a goal, yeah, that's unfortunate. But it doesn't mean that you should have been 4 VP.
I count missed goals as basically phantom VP. Basically honorary win. He basically effectively should have been 14-12.
So Dave was on potentially 14-12.
Hypothetically, and I can't tell you how many hypothetical games I've won. nothing more painful than missed goals.
Yeah, it's
but then again, nothing more satisfying to me. Poor Dave.
I just thoroughly parked the bus. I played Welcome to the No Fun Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the ball. I'm going to enjoy this ball.
I want, like, if for Dave, if you'd gone for the, if you'd gone for the bait model instead of dragging Scalpel in,
yeah,
do you think he would have taken the bait and tried to run after?
No, because I don't think he was looking for an execution. I think he was looking to scupper me, because with the 2-inch pushes, people were being moved. Mm. Oh, like, because how I deployed was obviously on the line, and a lot of the 2-inch pushes were just being used to push me away.
Yeah.
So that I had even further to get up pitch, but
just to shave your range off. Yeah.
I was kind of happy with that. I was like,
No, fair enough. Yeah.
I think it's because I've completely flipped my playstyle. My playstyle is normally 200% goals, 200% of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the stuff I've been playing lately, I've been playing a lot of games on Vassal and dojoing stuff with people on Facebook Messenger, and sort of realised that I need to start playing a new way. And I've tried it. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this. I've sort of unlocked the idea that there's other ways to get VP than just scoring goals.
Yeah.
And it's also, I've had this sort of flip lately where one of the reasons I played football was because I didn't get the takeout game. I would sort of look at models on the pitch and I'd be like, oh no, 3-1. Oh, 14 health. 14 health is a lot of health. I can't get through that. And then like someone would come up to a Kraken tough hide 3-1 and just inhale him because they had crowd outs.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of looking at that going, oh, okay, so that's how you set it up. And then there was a moment where I had Corsair with 3 crowd outs and he would just like wreck someone and I'd be like, oh, I've got 2 influence left to waste. Oh, so this is how you do takeouts. So I've started to piece it together now with a lot of help from my friends. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really enjoying Corsair again. It's after playing Navigator so long, it feels like coming home. Yeah. I feel like just going, oh, my buddy's here. And I'm going, oh no, he hasn't got one-legged stance as a legend. He's got 4-8 kick base. He's got 4-8 kick base. And oh, what's this new legendary?
Yeah, you should
a free drag on everyone within 6 inches.
We didn't really look at Corsair. We should take a couple of things off him. I'm like, you're not legendary. Yeah, a bit much. I'm like, well, not a bit much. How about we just give him that free all the time?
Only on himself.
On himself.
And he's lost close control, right?
Oh, not close control. We can't guarantee to counterattack any motherfucker. You can't knock him down anyway. Even people don't have close control. Tackle. Okay, tackle back.
One of my favourite things, my absolute favourite things to do with Corsair at the moment is to go, oh, I only got one hit. I guess that's a momentous tackle. The amount of times people go, what? And you go, yeah, Shark's got a non-momentous tackle on 2. Corsair's momentous on 1.
I'll just be honest. Mind if I do?
1, that's mine. 2, you're knocked down. 3, where am I going?
I'll just put it on this close control model I've got over here for a think. I'll have that. That don't count. That's not a tackle. Not a tackle. Oh, okay.
Yeah, loving Corsair. It really does feel like it. And because like last season, I played 6 models, you know?
Yeah.
Corsair, Kraken, Jack, Angel, Tentacles, and Sakana. This season, coming back and being like, oh, Corsair, Kraken, Tentacles. Oh, I'm back home. You know?
There we are.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. Just really, really enjoying playing the fish again. Yeah. Rolled into my second game.
So yeah, you're going up against Union.
Yeah, Sam. Sam, one of the Leodis lads, who I don't think I've actually managed to beat him yet. Until this game. Boom!
Alright, what fraudulent measure have you used to get a poor Sam?
So I was really worried about this game. I would like, obviously I've never beaten him before, kind of like the position I was at when I sat down against Dave.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, here we go.
Captain did he go for?
That's the thing, he went for Vet Rage.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I was looking, he had Vet Rage and he had Blackheart, and it's just like, I kind of want to play Shark into Vet Rage or Corsair into Blackheart.
Mm.
And I was like, I just didn't think I could risk Shark into Blackheart. So I thought, right, I'm going to throw Corsair in. And it ended up being the Corsair Vet Rage, which I was all right with.
I think Corsair can be a bit of a problem with Vet Rage himself.
Mm.
Problem with Vet Rage, it's not even the problem himself, it's that even if you feel like you lock him down, he can still help out other models, and they do the damage for him.
But yeah, which one thing I did find out was when we were considering Fangtooth, because like I hadn't seen much of Fangtooth. Sam brought him, and there was a great moment where he hit me with the unmasking so many times that it killed 2 models. Corsair and Kraken were on like 6 and 7 health at the end of it.
Mm.
And then Vet Rage was like, yeah, I've got a full stack of him, so I just walk up and pew 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 pew, you know. Yep. So I was like, okay, but thankfully Sakana died, so there wasn't an easy model to trigger it off anymore.
Ah, okay.
So I was, and he was just he was so heartbroken. He was like, oh, I meant to leave him on 1 so I could do it again. And I was like, thank you, didn't.
Can't kill my models, but I'm already dead.
Yeah. Hey. It's that meme, just tapping his temple, yeah. But yeah, so that was, it was pretty devastating seeing that. I had an ungodly kickoff. It was, I meant to kick it into a piece of terrain right on the edge of the pitch, right? But because of how the scatter went, it was just one you can't go over. Barrier? Well, whichever the one you can't go over was, it was like a house, basically. It was like an outhouse size. And I meant to put it into that so it couldn't scatter anywhere. So he had to come as far forward up the pitch as he could. And Sakana managed to get it around the back of it because of how the ball path went. It sort of nestled up nicely against it. And we sort of had a look and it was like, wow, objectively, I can't get that. And there's no way I can reach Sakana. So he had his first activation, which I think just jogged someone forward to see what I'd do. And I was like, cool, okay. Sakana gets that, brings it back. So I had momentum for kicking and then I got a load of momentum just for passing it around. And so,
fucking
yeah, it was cheese. It was cheese on cheese on cheese, but it was pretty cool. I couldn't replicate it again if I tried. It was just complete
heart of the dice.
The scatter does what the scatter will, and all we can do is praise be to the scatter that it loves us. But yeah, for this game I tried to single out a model and eat one at a time,
yeah,
because Minx came flying forward and I was like, well, it'd be rude not to, so just like drag, knock down. Kraken sort of then so Kraken has three influence. He drags, he knocks down, he sort of nods to himself, turns and looks at Corsair. Corsair's just like pats him on the back and says, good job, lad. And there's six influence, just bang bang bang. Coup de grace is great. That new passive, instead of getting momentous damage, getting four when you get a takeout, because you still get the one takeout. But you don't get it when you push models off the pitch.
I did not.
It's something to bear in mind, because it's pushed off the pitch and it then suffers the takeout condition, which means it's not within a 6-inch aura.
Fair enough.
Of course, 6 inches, whatever it is. But yeah, so I was just sort of slowly trying to chew through his models and then score a goal when I could.
Yeah.
I think I spent two turns with Fathom on a wing, just with the ball, just sort of dancing in and out of Vet Rage and Snakeskin's threat range, hoping to just sort of fly around and score a goal when she could. So I scored one goal and I think I closed the game out with a goal as well. But the Vet Rage is just terrifying. You've just got to control him or stay away from him or something. You've got to turn him off if you can.
Yeah.
But he's got quick foot. He can get out of almost anything.
But if you have to pay for that, you've already done the damage. That's the thing. How many can you can have four on him? Can't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you have four. If you're paying two for that, you're just getting infuriatingly two attacks, which are horrible, but not as much. And without the ability to use Bloody Coin and perfect him, once he turns over with, if you can just make him blow the quick time. And I've had players who are so reluctant to blow the quick time, they've just sat there and done nothing, as opposed to go, I'll blow the two, get out, and then go back in.
Yeah.
Go, I'll get to walk up, try and clean up. And Corsair's the perfect captain of that. Can't knock him down, you've got the 2-1 shimmy, got to blow the quick time if you want that quick charge, and you don't get that knockdown set up either. So just knowing that you could potentially push him out again. Defending is spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, I think Corsair can do a fair bit from ruin Vet Rage into a fair bit. Red Fury is the problem. Always Red Fury.
Yeah, so that was a big fear, because of the amount, the output Fangtooth was getting on masking. I couldn't remove him.
He could just hit it. Yeah. Oh god.
The thing at one point, he was set up so perfectly for it. He killed Hag, Sakana, and I think that's no, he killed Hag, Sakana, and probably just tentacles, I think it was.
Yeah.
But in doing so also killed, but the damage he was doing to Kraken and Corsair, it was like, it's worth it. You know, it's worth
I'd take that trade in it,
The thing is though, because Minx died, we had a look at the wording on coup de grace. I don't have to take the model out, so I got three momentum. So it meant I didn't get the extra one for the takeout, but I was in a nice position to then start looking counter attacks and stuff.
Well, do you not get momentum for the takeout if they take out their own dude?
I think you get it because you make a model suffer the takeout condition.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, I got the, and then in doing so, like I said, because I just didn't heal Sakana, because I was just like, if I heal him, all I'm doing is meaning more unmaskings can come off him, because he was knocked down, and I think he'd had a point of armor removed off him, so it was like, and he was singled out. It was like the perfect model to be triggering this off, and I was just like, I need him gone. I'm not healing him. So when he did eventually die, I had momentum then to counterattack. The only person he could have attacked was Corsair, and it's like, well,
right, yeah, it was much more of a tough cookie to deal with.
But yeah, it was really, really close game. Went down to 12-10, and the game was lost on the ball being on Snakeskin at the top of a turn. We got a seize the initiative. I brought Fathom up. He brought Snakeskin into cover, but neither of us thought Fathom had the threat to do it. Of course, you did.
The way you get that makes you think you knew the entire time. You're like, yeah, neither of us knew. Well, we are, we can't.
No, but I was looking at, it's not like we did one that, you know, sometimes when you're playing a game, we go, oh, I think here, you know, I don't think you can do it. Have you got the threat? Like, if he'd asked me that question, I'd have gone, I don't think so. And then if I'd tried to do it, I'd have gone, well, we both did it thinking that I couldn't do it, so I won't, yeah. You know. But, and there was a few people walking past looking at this table, because obviously I was playing, so the game was going down to the wire, because I don't know how to use a clock.
I just don't know what situation you'd be in that you think Fathom couldn't reach. That's why I think it could totally muscle. Yeah. Like going, oh, I don't even know if Fathom would really make it. Like, he's talking about, of course she can make it.
Yeah, well, she was in cover on my goalpost on the back side of it. No, no, she wasn't.
No, I honestly thought you were being legit without going, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course she can make it. No, it was a barrier about a third. No, it wasn't. It was a, what's the fucking name of the one you could climb over?
I think it's a barrier.
It doesn't matter. It was against a fence that you could climb over in the sort of my third, where we sort of talked about it afterwards and probably would have been best just going away with it, just like moving in a different direction, but then I think the idea was by throwing forwards I would have had to have retrieved it and then kicked out instead of used a model to retrieve and score. And there was a few of us looking at it where to the point where David Cameron was sort of looking at it and he sort of just, I overheard him, so the two people talking about it, and I heard David just go, oh, like this, like, oh my god noise, because sort of, Snakeskin's obviously got beautiful, so Corsair couldn't rough seas off her.
Yeah.
Because it would have just been bang, go, like get the ball to someone and run. Whereas instead, all Fathom did was just do what she does. Yeah. You know, she was on a piece of fast ground. So I took Wave Runner. I dodged off, because fast ground counts as terrain. So heroic counts. So she got the 4-inch dodge. Acrobatic to be within 2-inch.
Such cheeky shit. Yeah. God, fucking, dude, oh, fucking hate that model. Oh, God.
Snatched it, went up, scored, got the win. But we were talking about saying it's such a close game, could have gone either way, especially with that horrible Fangtooth setup that was going. What I should have done is just had the stones to just go after Fangtooth.
Yeah.
I think if I'd brought him into the meat grinder, because yeah, I'd have just got it.
Yeah, Fangtooth really don't stand up to much punishment. It's not tough hiding, it's got resilient, and when you've got resilient, kind of pays off when you can counter attack and you can fuck with him a bit when you've got 2-1, shimmy. Yeah, one done, bang.
Yeah. What I was trying to do was pop it with blind, but I just kept missing blind. I was going, Tentacles, your job is to take that off. And Tentacles just kept spitting and missing.
Yeah, you know, you had to hit with it, don't you, to get the actual thing, yeah. Yeah, I think you just pay the one. Because the 5 attacks you get back are just worth cash money, aren't they? And yeah, Fangtooth is a pick who you just get that thing. Well, if it goes well, it's blowing off on masking and murdering people. But yeah, it's always going to take it down. I'm not, I don't like better Fangtooth. I think he does a lot more.
Yeah.
Fucking regular old fashioned Fangtooth. I do think he's a bit of a weakling, I reckon.
His rookie sculpt is so good though.
Yeah.
It's the one where he's like, ah, it's great.
I do love him, but oh man, fucking hell. It's just a really hard sell. Yeah, God bless Cam for giving him a try as well. It looks like it did pay off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it got him I think he got 7 VP off that. So yeah
was, that is more, yeah.
Yeah, one model bringing you more than half your VPs in. Yeah.
Moving on to your next game.
Yeah, so I lost this next game. I played Corsair into Brewers, where I'd been talking to people all week about what I was gonna do, what I was thinking about, who would play when. And I think I landed on Shark into Brewers. But I panicked and I just went my safety pick, because Corsair's my safety, because I know exactly everything he does. I know what to do, how to play. But I also got a bit greedy. Matt played really well and he had...
Notorious nemesis for the firm podcast, Matt Walker.
Rudest man alive.
Yeah.
So obviously the entire game was just like the most polite of, oh, I'm just going to move this here. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're just genuinely nice guy. You know, one of them. And we sort of played it out, and he had Vet Decimate, brackets obviously, and Vet Decimate had the ball, and I was bringing Sakana back on and Fathom, but instead of bringing them on one at each side to threaten each side, I brought them both on at one side so Sakana could retrieve, give to Fathom, and Fathom could go score, which everyone's got perfect hindsight, you know, everyone's got 20-20 hindsight. Obviously shouldn't have done, should have come on the wrong side, the other side, to at least threaten that.
Yeah.
So Vet Decimate just went to the other side with the ball. I got greedy, went to go Kraken up to go get it, to try and, I sent Kraken to drag Vet Decimate in. The drag didn't work, so Kraken was just left hanging there in range of everyone, and sort of one by one they all just went, okay Esters, we're just going to take our free heroic, and just sort of like Vet Decimate was just standing there like snarling, dragging her foot against the floor like a bull. Flew in, hit dot, hit push, hit push, hit push, brings him right back, and then Hooper just hooped.
You thought you were doing the bait model, but it was you, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just got a series of very stupid mistakes, but Matt played really well throughout the entire game.
I remember, like, one of your more glaring weaknesses is when you bring models back on, you do tend to favour bringing them all on one side.
Yeah. I didn't know I did it that bad, do I really?
You do it a fair bit. There are plenty of games. We've had a fair few games sometimes where you've always had the comeback on and you always bring them on one side.
I'm a sucker for fast ground.
But in fact, we had a fair few games like that where you do tend to favour the one side. If I ever played striker teams, I always favour the wing strategy. I don't know why, I always imagine the 8-inch bubble, you know, around them.
I mean, it just makes sense. I don't know why I didn't do it. Like, as soon as I brought him on, I was just going, what have I done? But, like, by then I'd clicked the clock over and Matt was allocating, so it's like it was too late to move. But, I just should have done. Should have, would have, could have, didn't.
Yeah.
Matt took the win, went up to the... took my coin off me and went in to play David
Cameron. We were joking about this. I went, oh, would you flip to then? I'm an awesome Bruce player. Again. Who is it? Like, oh, Matt Walker. Like, I can't even get angry at him. That's the problem.
he's so nice, you can't even hate him for it.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, when he was playing Butchers, he had a Doll's House Spam. He's playing Brewers, and he's got this little iron brew can. It looks so good.
His model draws spectacular, apparently.
And the goal marker was a ghost scum, and everyone was going, oh, too soon.
Well, spoiler alert, come down.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it's Gilball Fluff, someone dies. One of the things I came away from this tournament going, I was going, oh, I'm so glad that over Christmas I'm gonna rebase and paint all of my fish and all of my nabs when they arrive.
I'm determined to get you a pristine painted set model. Yeah. They're just like, bang, there they are.
I think there's three or four models that I am going to painstakingly craft. I want Corsair, Tentacles, Kraken, and Fathom. I want them to look superb.
Mori.
they have to look incredible, and then I'll be happy. I'm a bit disappointed that I can't find room for Angel. After championing her for so long, and after she did so much work for me for season 3, you know, there are games where she scored all 12 of my VP, you know, once in the same turn. You know what I mean? Like, I love that model so much, and she's done so much, and they've buffed her, and I still can't find room for her in my six.
Would you hear the releasing kind of way more powerful model that has like all these great mechanics that are just basically no legitimate defence again?
That's it. I mean, veteran Sakana is great. I don't know.
I like the idea, like, you present that question going, I don't know where I find Angel, you know, in my kick for some reason, kind of going, well, who replacing her? No one in particular, just everything can brought Fathom in, it's just really hard to find the movement and the stoppable force of nature and the minimum of 4 dice to a kick.
But you can't snapshot with her very well.
The opponent is just absolutely helpful against the 5 defence, just like, oh, shit.
She's got nimble.
Reroll.
Wow. She's got nimble. She can't super shot.
Can't nimble. Michelle, fuck off. Even Angel at best on super shot territory, I can actually I can shave her down to a few dice. I can even put super shot as fuck you Angel back into normal territory.
There was one point where I think it was this next game against Martin where he goes, oh, blind on Fathom. And it was just like -2 dice. I was like, cool, bonus time. And he was like, is that back to what you're normally on? I was like, yes. Whereas, like, blind really hurts Angel. Yeah.
You see, Martin, blind normally would be a huge impediment to my game. But there is no impediment to my kicking game, because there can't be. Well, what affects TN? Absolutely nothing at all. Have you blocked line of sight? No. Guess you're fucked, aren't you? Like, oh god, I really blind do so much damage. Yeah, to everyone else in the game, literally. But you're playing against the Navigators now, and they're a new set of rules. And the new rules are, I get 4 dice no matter what. What's that, a goal? I thought so.
You'd have to bonus time to get back up to 4.
Yeah, I'll just spend the momentum, and I'm back up to normal.
Yeah, but I struggle to generate momentum. It's not like I just can get one off a hit. I have to charge.
Fuck. It's not the team right now. I've moved on from the team. It's the players. Just that like legit, like that brain thing of like going, listen, I just don't know what you, I don't know what the beef is. Or just even with the most best character playing from the game, hitting on a 5 defense model, by the way, which hard enough to do any day at week. There's literally nothing you can do. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna roll these. And if they fail, I'll re-roll them again and I will score. We both know that's gonna happen. Should we just cut out the middle man and let's just say I don't get a screamer? How about that? How about this, right? How about you put in four dice away, and I scored the goal, and I walked to the Forest. How about what you call it?
I think you're overreacting.
When you're there going, you know, my best striker ever, who's like got rid of like 10 kick and defend, and literally won the entire game. I just can't, now that one model from the Navigator can come over, I just can't find a play. It's like literally the chain of thought about to go down. She's just gone now. Mm. For some reason. I just, just admit.
Right, are you done?
I'm not done. I'm never done.
Is that... Right.
When do they come out now?
They're out. They're in people's hands. They're coming. They're trickling through.
Are they actually
through.
Coming? Yeah,
they're in the
pub. Good. Can't wait to be vindicated. Right, last game, Martin. You did win this one?
Yes. It was 12-9. It got very close. Really good game. I got my last 2 points in a particularly horrible way, I will say. I used Hag's Legendary. Mist was quite low on health. I think he only had 3 health left. I used Hag's Legendary to dodge Hag Crosshair into that perfect triangle base to base with Mist, so he couldn't get away.
Yeah.
And then at the top of the next turn, Martin won the turn, scored a goal with Blackheart, and then it was my activation, the full stack of 6 on court. Corsair, I did 3 damage to Miss for the win. But it was a really good, really, really nice game. There was one moment where he'd set up this on my mark sort of, you know that nonsense Blackheart can do to get the ball off someone, move and do it. He used that to, he attacked, dodged out, and then used on my mark to get the ball and then went for the goal. And it was like a really well set up play. It was perfect. And he was like a fraction out from his kick. But if he'd just slightly repositioned the double dodge, he'd have been in position for both. So I was like, we'll just say you did that, because that's obvious. If someone has done something like that and their intention was obviously to do that,
yeah,
and there is no reason why they shouldn't have been able to do that.
If they did a double dodge and they took like 1 inch,
yeah,
and you go, well, you obviously could have done more and it wouldn't have affected the player whatsoever, you obviously have an infraction.
That's it, like, yeah. Because I think at that point it's that it's not even they're not utilising some of the, I think it's different if someone forgets a shadow, like, or if someone, like, I think then you're starting to get into maybe different things. But if someone is literally followed the letter of the rules and all they've done is a slight incorrect positioning when both players know exactly what the intention was,
yeah,
and it's not even like he was an inch and a half out of the kick, he was like a fraction out and comfortably in within on my mark's range, so it was like, well, just move. So it was like, cool, yeah, thank you, you did that, got, well, the goal. Then
there is a burden of information either one, but there are also kind of a hard cut off point. But I think that millimeter difference where he obviously could have done more, yeah, quite for like, yeah. Yeah, you give absolutely. Him he gives you.
Which is exactly what happened later on, because I had a very similar situation with Fathom where I can't even remember what it was. It was one of the nonsense dodges I was doing, and I could have got into, I think I was trying to get into tapping, or I was trying to dodge to be not engaged by someone, but I'd like got the, because of the angle I had the distance, but I'd been a dick and brought someone into 1 inch, and we were just like, we'll just nudge literally there where you definitely had the movement to and you're fine, that's cool, thank you. And I think that's what I think that's just sportsmanship,
yeah,
you know, when it comes down to it.
Well, it's always that thing of if one can do it for each other, okay, if you're back and forth in that kind of, okay, one of my pet peeves from some players, it's like, okay, the casual on their end, hardcore on your end,
yeah,
kind of like going, when it's on their turn, oh man, yeah, sorry. And to be fair, like, I'm bad for treating games casually, but I do tend to treat them casually on both ends.
It's the perfect example is that, oh, like, literally as they hit the clock, shit, I meant to heal, you've got the momentum, just do it, and compared to the fact if you do exactly the same thing, some people go,
yeah, like if they're okay doing it on their end, and then they turn around to you and go, haven't put the token down, I guess the conditioning, and they're like, don't even try that shit with me. I think if you give people a bit of leeway, they're a good gentleman's agreement to give leeway.
That's the best way to word it, actually. It is that agreement, it's that gentleman's agreement of, look, this is how we're playing.
Yeah, okay, especially with and Hayford, you were in tapping range, but he literally needed it to get the goal. You're also like going, oh, I get a slight advantage.
I can't even remember what mine was, but it definitely involved Fathom and moving a bit.
It went from I can already get a goal, but I slightly have a better chance to get a goal, from like, if I didn't give you that mill, you were done.
Really good, enjoyable, clean game. Just really good fun. And I got third, a podium.
Third?
Yeah.
Fucking half it. Yeah. I take it grand final, they took first and second.
Yes. Yeah. Which doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes 3-1 is enough to... Usually 3-1 is enough to get you play.
Yeah.
But it just depends on the guy, don't really. Strength of schedule do kind of sometimes get away.
Yeah, there was 4 of us on 3-1. Matt played David Cameron in the final and they took first and second, so I got third because of strength of schedule.
Oh, poor Matt. David Cameron. Hard guy you up against the grand final.
Yeah, he was playing his Navigators, which he just got. Mm. And so I saw the sculpts in up close and personal for the first time I could actually pick them up since...
I think Nationals.
And I can't remember if they were production samples or if they were actually off the shelf or what they were. But yeah, they look amazing. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited to
get them. Again, we're going to get you some sweet painting. Mm. I'm gonna break out the Top Gun for this.
Yeah.
I'll be on maximum tutor mode.
Yeah.
Like mock you out for great.
Wax on, wax off.
I think I want you to have... I have some models that I'm half and half about, but there are some where I painted and I'm happy enough with them that they're just done now.
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to be in. You've tried to repaint... You repainted the guild a fair bit.
Yeah, I've painted and repainted the fish 3 times now.
I want you to have the done level of painting. Be like going there, good as we're ever going to get. They're done. Now I can finally paint these blacksmith and play the guild I really wanted to play.
But one thing coming out of this tournament is that nice vindication that 3-1 is possible for me.
I've always been there. I've always thought you could do it. That's what I meant by that. I felt like I kind of working. I've got 3-1 on time.
What are you on about? It's easy.
You can go, bang it out.
Just win more games than you lose.
I'm glad you went fishing. If you brought Navigator, I think there's still a part of my head going like people like you to them, X Factor in here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
But could you brought your fisherman? I mean, I'm not gonna harp on this, but. So I'm gonna count your victory in 80%. Thinking you brought your fish, it's like, yeah, I feel like it's more of a, it's almost like your proof of concept now. They're going, yeah, you're fine. The game plan's catching up. Even through this, when you were talking about your game, I think even the one you were going up against, the one before Matt, Cam, were it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're going up against Cam, you came like, you were executing a bunch of concepts that were coming together in a good way. Mm. You're going for the bait. You were doing your counter punching. You were hovering, you were keeping your VP on the board, having Favre float around, not suffering from target panic, or blowing your load early. Board. Yeah.
One thing I've been very I've had to stop myself doing is I've got the ball, I should go score. No, I've started thinking of the right, is this the best time to score? Especially now I've unlocked the door to the takeout game, I kind of feel I've got access to it now. That's a potential VP source of income that I didn't have before, because I've actually taken the time to sort of realise where it comes from. So now it's is it worth me getting these 4 points now, or how likely is it that I can get a few more takeouts and close the game out with this goal? Have Fathom just floating in safety, no influence on, just dunk it all into the grinder.
Okay, one of the things I like about the fishman generally is that because now momentum damage has been taken off them.
Mm.
I get the back in the paying the price territory where you have to actually dedicate yourself to the kill. When the kill comes in, then you get your MP and that shit, and you're kind of limited in what you can get anyway, because at the end of the day, an old corsair kill could easily run you on 7 momentum. You do all your damage, you get the kill itself, bang, 7, no problem. Which was a lot to take away from a kill. Now that he's back in the territory of 4, kind of what you're getting now.
Yeah.
Still an okay amount, no problem. And more importantly, you can kind of bank momentum in a weird way now. You can get someone near dead, start the next turn, kill them, one hit, and all of a sudden you're on 4 momentum. Not bad at all. But I do like that about him. You pay your price for your damage, go in, but they still are very capable of it. And the thing I like about it, one of my earliest dreams, I think I had such a good win rate against you earlier on with your fisherman, but I knew the takeout game looking even on the table. And even if I got the ball out of the picture, I just had free reign in the pitch.
Yeah.
So now that you go in, Cocker and Kraken are going to do their work. Potentially Khan, I can crack the Tom.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that you put it back on the table, all of a sudden it's going, got other Cocker to draw on. Really fucking out.
Yeah, whereas before, Corsair, Kraken and Jack, their job was it was more control.
Yeah.
It was, we're going to drag you, we're going to knock down Jack, we're going to push you. You're going to be where you don't want to be, or I'm going to push you away from my strikers. They were like the heavies that kept the strikers safe while they ran around and did their thing.
Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like they're actually a viable source of VP income.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, which, damage, I mean, they weren't not before. It's just, it's one of them things where it was in my head, the problem. The problem was in my head, not on the model's card.
And I feel like that's the story of the firm, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Really? I get mental game. I do think it cuts a huge part. Like, how many times? I think, okay, one of the things you always do that, okay, I hate when you make the right decision first.
And then talk myself out of the right decision.
And you always, how many times you've gone, like, I don't know why I didn't just trust my instinct and just go, yeah, of course I have two strikers on each wing.
Yeah.
Of course I control the ball. That's my thing. How many times have I been, like, watching you play and I always do that thing where don't interrupt someone when they're making a mistake.
No.
I think we're playing the game with Cork there, and you're doing that thing where you're going, oh, I really want men, and push. And I'm going, oh, thank God he's not taking damage. That'd have been a nightmare for me. And just go like, yeah, just let him run through it. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to see. I feel like you finally caught up to where I thought you were originally. For me, this is just the version of you that not talking yourself out of it anymore. I think Pro Alex can just finally. He's been there the entire time. It's like the Matrix. You know, we never reference.
No.
Have you seen
other films?
Yeah, I've only watched The Matrix on repeat. It's the perfect Christmas film. But, like, Neo isn't not the one the entire time. You just need to become the one.
Yeah.
I think that analogy works. It's not like Teal... it's not like Luke Skywalker isn't a Jedi. It's not like Aragorn wasn't the king the entire time. I'm pretty much here. I'm actually not that good on... It's not like Doctor Who wasn't the Doctor the entire time.
There's got to be a Star Trek one in there.
No, because Captain Picard actually... We went to Star School.
Sat at one of the desks.
You have to actually become a captain. No, I don't count. Yeah, the Star Trek actually has a very structured merit thing. Well, that's a big... You're going to have to edit all that out.
Yes, I did cut a bit out. No, it wasn't that bad. It was just really off topic. You know, we started talking about Harry Potter and it was a whole thing. It's not interesting, so I cut it.
But the whole thing, like, I think you've lived up to the potential I knew was there the entire time. But okay, if we go into future tournament, I think this is just the beginning of a new chapter. You've had your win when you navigate a tournament, which all jokes aside, I think totally legit. I go by fighting game rules, you know me. Thought you were getting away from fighting game reference, did you? Which in fighting games, anything goes.
So if you're playing the firm bingo, please let us know if you
free square fighting games. I get one free one every. We agree to the terms for this podcast before we even played off. I get one reference for the podcast. Yeah, anything goes, anything legit. Fuck it, out to win. So yeah, that navigate fine. Fucking the agreed. That's their fault, not yours. Yeah, 3-1, very respectable on the fucking board and against not bad players either.
That's it. It was there was a few dropouts last minute and it went from what looked to be a relatively casual sort of mid-table fest to a couple of drops and a couple of people dropped in and it suddenly became a Shark Tank.
Mm.
So I was quite pleased with my quite pleased with that. And like I said, objective is to keep on rolling, keep on rocking.
Keep on rolling, keep on trucking. I don't know about you, I assume you're super happy with your performance.
Mm.
I couldn't be happier for you. I thought you did a fucking great job.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, okay. No one in the world you can't beat, Alex. I still firmly believe that. Alright, everyone, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. To everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. I'm glad we're back in the swing of it.
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah, don't. And a big hi.
Peace.